passage in Corinthians. It is the context in which we get our mission statement. So I wanted to, as we celebrate St. Barnabas Day, I wanted to remind you and give you the opportunity to reflect on our mission, vision, and values. And so that's what this is all about. If you didn't get one when you came in, there should be some at the back. And the scripture that this central idea that Paul develops here about the ministry of reconciliation, it's a summary statement of the gospel. God was in the world in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And he, having reconciled us to himself, has given us this ministry, this word of reconciliation. And so, though Paul is talking about himself, and especially that first generation of apostles, those sent out, Paul and Barnabas, you may recall, went out together. That's specifically applicable to them and to Paul's ministry. And Paul is, of course, as you know, in Corinthians, trying to create an appeal to the Corinthian church not to be divorced from Paul or not to be separated from Paul, trying to rebuild the credibility of his apostleship. All of that's part of this context, but nonetheless, this fact that God reconciled the world to himself and that that now includes you and I, there's still this, I think, very logical connection that we now become those ambassadors or those servants of this work. Not, as I'll say later, not that we really can do or need to do anything. The work is all done by God in Jesus Christ, but we have the privilege and joy of participating, and God has chosen to use humans as the occasion, mostly, generally speaking, most of the time God prefers to work through humans as he begins now to extend his kingdom in the world, and that's been true for 2,000 years. Anyway, good to be reminded of our mission, vision, and values. In theory, at least, that characterizes who we are and what we are about, the why of us and the who of us. And it's a good reminder or good experience, a good exercise to remind ourselves of these things. So you may not know, but presumably you do, that in Acts, when we heard about Barnabas, the Saul that he went to go get was a persecutor of the church earlier, and there's this grand conversion experience that Saul has when Jesus encounters him in a vision, in physical form, on the road to Damascus. But this Saul is the Apostle Paul. Paul is his Greek name, and when he went out of the Jewish context and into the rest of the Roman Empire, he went by Paul. And so, in case you didn't know, this Saul is Paul, and Barnabas and Paul journeyed together. And so what we're hearing from Paul here is presumably what Barnabas would have said had we record of Barnabas's sermons. Now, history is very silent on Barnabas. Once he exits this companionship with Paul, he drops off the radar for us. So what we know about Barnabas, we get from the book of Acts, and there's a lot there that's very encouraging for us who identify ourselves as part of St. Barnabas Parish. Even this little bit we heard today, Barnabas comes, he's sent out from the mother church in Jerusalem to investigate this new occurrence. The word, the gospel, is now going out beyond the Jewish audience, and so the Jerusalem church sends Barnabas up there to see what's going on, and Barnabas recognizes the grace of God, and he rejoices in it. He celebrates it, and he encourages those to remain steadfast. And then it tells us that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. And that's just a great heritage, I think. It's a good, like I was saying to the children, it's good to know our roots, the potential we have genetically, if we were, related by blood to our ancestor. In this case, it's a theological genetic or a spiritual genetic, but our DNA is rich. We too have this heritage as part of our being part of the body of Christ here at St. Barnabas. And there's a lot we could learn from Barnabas in this. And this is especially important, I think, because Paul is a bit, like Barnabas and Paul may have preached the same message, we would imagine, but I think it would feel differently coming from Paul. Because Paul is not called the son of encouragement. Paul is a bit hardcore. Like you listen to Paul and there's an urgency, there's a stridency, but there's also an edge to Paul. I don't get the sense that Paul slept much. I think this is before a lot of caffeine. I think it's before caffeine in general. But he was a soccer mom, to be sure. Like going, go, 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 slam the big gulp or whatever, and away we go. That's my sense, right? Paul's always going. And Barnabas, I don't feel the same vibe about Barnabas. I think Barnabas would be more soft-spoken and gentle, accessible. And I think Paul, you might come away feeling challenged and invigorated. With Barnabas, you'd come away feeling comforted. And so we need both of these. Probably Paul and Barnabas made a good team. What we didn't hear from, we said that there was chapter 13, verse 1 and 3 in our Acts reading, but that wasn't there. At any rate, that says that the Holy Spirit told the Antioch church to set aside Paul and Barnabas for the mission, the ministry that God had. And I think it was a good team, Paul and Barnabas, because of the balancing. So when we hear Paul, and this is an amazing passage, 2 Corinthians 5 does in like 3 or 4 verses, or maybe if you want to go back to the whole passage, 12 verses, 9 verses, Paul does there what he attempts to do in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, in 4 chapters in Romans, and even Romans is dense and hard to access, and you've heard me recommend to you before Romans 6, 7, and 8, and now I'll tack Romans 5 onto it. It's well worth the effort of studying and reading and meditating on. And in an even more condensed manner, we get the same teaching here in 2 Corinthians 5. And it really is tremendous. But the end result of that could be that we feel overwhelmed, or we might feel burdened, because, as I've already said, Paul says, God reconciled us. He gave us this message of reconciliation that was especially true for Paul. But we know that God has designed the church to fulfill and complete the work of God that he began in Jesus Christ. So that's true for all of us. All of us carry, to a certain extent, this ministry of reconciliation. All of us can say that we are ambassadors of Christ. That's part of what it means to be part of the body of Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. And given, depending on your temperament or whatever, that could be overwhelming. That could be a burden and not a joy. For sure, we can see and think about instances in time in the church in which Christians have made this a duty, an obligation, and it's become both a burden and also sucks life out of people. There's a certain irony there, right? Just like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, he says, you don't enter life, and those who would enter, you bar the gate for them. So too, the church has taken what is life-given and giving, what was intended to bring life and joy, and they've turned it into something that sucks life out of people. Yeah, you got to admire human ingenuity, right? Aren't we good? We need, I think, the gospel. The gospel does really well today, a nice companion with Paul. Like, so what Paul's talking about is exciting, it's brilliant, it's dense, it's amazing, it's mind-blowing, but it can become a burden. And so the word from Jesus today was, this is like the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God, the coming of the kingdom is like this. A person goes out and plants some seeds. Then he goes to bed and he gets up and he goes to bed. The seed just grows. The person doesn't know how the seed grows. He doesn't do anything to make the seed grow. It just grows all by itself. The soil, in fact, sun, rain, soil, call out of the seed the potential in the seed. That's what's happening. The human put the seed in the ground. And even that could happen by wind and accident. And then when harvest comes, the human gets to step in and cut it down and go, wow, what a good boy am I. Hey, you see that? Look at what I did. Anyway, that's not really part of the parable. The parable is the kingdom will come. It will happen because it's God's work. And so the thing we need to hear in Paul is that though we are called into ministry, though St. Barnabas has a mission statement that says we all as ministers, as agents of God's reconciliation, are bringing glory to God as we go out and work out this message of God in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not holding against them their trespasses. Though we have this, as we heard last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, this treasure in earthen vessels, we should not be burdened by it because it's not about us and it's not up to us. The success is not ours. It's not ours to carry. And it's very clear as Paul restates and summarizes and puts in a nutshell the gospel, the entire gospel. God made Jesus, who was without sin, he made Jesus sin so that we might become, in Jesus, the righteousness of God. And that's this gospel. Now, Paul is led up to this by saying that we died with Christ and were raised again. One man died for all, therefore all died, so that those who live might not live for themselves, but live for him who is raised again. Again, this is Romans chapter 6. Paul says this reconciliation word was given to us because this has been true for us. What is this ministry of reconciliation? It's this, that God was in Jesus Christ. The man Jesus of Nazareth lived and died to be the act of God. And the act of God was to reconcile the world to himself. And this is the key to that reconciliation. God was not holding sin and trespass and wrong against the world. God was not holding their trespasses against them. That's what this message of reconciliation is. And then Paul goes on to say, we as ambassadors of Christ, as though God, and in fact, we probably should read this as if, and it is the case, God through us is speaking, be reconciled to God. We implore you, we beseech you, we beg you. Now, Paul has begun by saying, knowing the fear of God and the love of Christ, a double motivation. That's why we do what we do. That's why we get involved in this. All of this sets aside human effort. This isn't about God going out and picking the biggest and the best, the smartest and the brightest, the strongest, for his purpose and his work. In fact, I think it's probably better to understand that our involvement in this is more like the two-year-old who says, Daddy, can I help you? Or Mommy, can I help you? And you're like, sure, dear. I would love to have you help me. You remember those days? Not a lot of help coming, is there? But unless you're having a really bad day, you're delighted to have your child there, or even your, you know, a neighbor kid or whatever. You're delighted to have children helping. And the same joy is part of our Father's heart. But it would be a mistake for the two-year-old to agonize over, oh, it didn't work out, and oh, I really hope. That would be a mistake. That's not what the point is. The point is not for the two-year-old to stress about the outcome of the house you're building or the cake you're baking. The purpose of the two-year-old is to enjoy being with mommy or daddy or whomever, grandma, grandpa, to learn, to grow. And what the two-year-old brings that we as adults have forgotten is the freedom and the joy of just doing the task, of being involved, of learning, of growing. And this is the thing that I think Paul, if we're not careful, Paul can become wearisome and a burden. A mission statement can become crippling and life-sucking the life out of us if we're not careful. And so what we need is what Barnabas seemed to have, a robust confidence in what God is doing. And then in that confidence, the freedom to come alongside people and celebrate what God is doing in their life and encourage them and be for them a source of strength, a resource. These are all the things that can only happen out of a basis of confidence and out of a freedom that comes when we aren't overly anxious about ourselves, about our worth, about our abilities, and about the outcome. Getting too anxious about the outcome, about our ability, about our worth, cripples and sucks the life out of something, right? Now let me give you a quick example. I usually am fairly confident and comfortable up here speaking. You could tell me if I telegraph something differently. If I were singing a solo right now, apart from the Eucharist, which I do, but if I was singing a solo right now, my anxiety level would be a little higher. Because I actually do not solo, and I would be a little anxious about that. I feel like I'm making a fool of myself. If I were playing a violin for you, I would be beside myself with anxiety and nerves. In fact, I'd just refuse to do it. Because I might be able to sing modestly, I cannot play the violin at all. Well, okay, I could screech out a scale, probably. And this is the gift that God gives us when he makes us righteousness in Christ. Our own abilities we've said no to and let go, because in death is where we meet our Savior. He died, all died, so that they might live new. And again, this is just in nutshell form. And so you need to go home and read and reread Romans, Galatians, and other places. But this is what God invites us into, is this freedom and confidence that Barnabas seemed to have. This joy in the task, because I'm not tied up in this. My ego, my anxiety, my sense of worth and value, my sense of purpose, none of these things are at risk. God is doing his work. He's invited me to join him. I have the privilege and the joy of being a part of what God is doing. And what is God doing? That's what's so exciting. He's going out and saying, listen, you can come in. Come to the family. Don't worry about what is it that's hindering you. God is not going to hold that against you. Isn't that tremendous? God is not holding the wrongs against the world. He's not holding your wrongs against you. God saying, let me love you. These things I've dealt with. Enter my joy. Enter the freedom that I have bought at great price. Enter my love. And I have the privilege of getting that word out. Now that's exciting. Now I know some of you can't hear it. I know I struggle with hearing it. But that doesn't mean it's not true. And that doesn't mean I can quit saying it. I gotta keep saying it. Let me read for you what Schweitzer says about this parable in Mark's gospel. The parable, with its assurance that the harvest will come, stands in opposition to any form of doubt or care, which, instead of waiting for God to fulfill his promise, endeavors to force the coming of the kingdom or to build it. Thus, the parable is asking if we are willing, for Jesus' sake, to wait with Jesus for God to do what he is sure to do. The parable is asking us if we are willing to wait with Jesus for God to do what God is sure to do. And if we are willing to wait with a carefree attitude, which is becoming to the children of God, without any spiritual maneuvering or misguided efforts, to build one's life in this way, entirely upon God's promise and no longer upon one's own ability or inability, demands all the feeling, thinking, doing, and speaking of which we are capable. That's to say, though God has done it all, it's not easy for us to let God do it all. To actually trust in God's promise and his willingness and his ability to fulfill his promise requires from us a great effort, demands all the feeling, thinking, doing, and speaking of which we are capable. But if we do, if we enter that place, we realize anew and in a deeper way the freedom and the joy because of the great confidence we have in what God is doing. And we can then become, not because we try, but because it just sort of oozes out of us, we can become little children of encouragement ourselves as we live into our heritage. A tremendous invitation for us anew today. It's not the first time you've heard this, but I encourage you to listen again. God has brought you to himself, and in Christ he makes you righteous, and he's imploring through me that you would receive this word of reconciliation and you would let go of all your pride, your stubbornness, your thinking that this is not possible, your guilt, that you would let go of that and just come. Be loved anew as you let go of all that blocks your ability to receive the love of God in Christ. Amen.